the sound of hammers, which they found soothing. So well-off dwarfs, in the clerical professions, paid goblins to hit small ceremonial anvils, just to maintain the correct dwarfish image. The broomstick lay between two trestles. Granny Weatherwax sat on a rock outcrop, while a dwarf, half her height, wearing an apron that was a mass of pockets, walked around the broom and occasionally poked it. Eventually, he kicked the bristles and gave a long intake of breath, a sort of reverse whistle, which is the secret sign of a craftsman across the universe and means that something expensive is about to happen.
"Well," he said, "I could get the apprentices in to look at this. I could. It's an education in itself. And you said actually managed to get airborne?"
"It flew like a bird," said Granny.
The dwarf lit a pipe.
"I should very much like to see that bird," he said reflectively. "I should imagine it's quite something to watch, a bird like that."
"Yes, but can you repair it?" said Granny. "I'm in a hurry."
The dwarf sat down slowly and deliberately.
"As for repair," he said, "well, I don't know about repair. Rebuild, maybe. Of course, it's hard to get the bristles these days, even if you can find people to do the proper binding, and the spells need—"
"I don't want it rebuild. I just want it to work properly," said Granny.
"It's an early model, you see,"
the dwarf plugged on.
"Very tricky, those early models. You can't get the wood."
He was picked up bodily until his eyes were level with Granny's. Dwarfs, being magical in themselves, as it were, are quite resistant to magic, but her expression looked as though she was trying to weld his eyeballs to the back of his skull.
"Just repair it," she hissed. "Please."
"What? Make a botched job?"
said the dwarf, his pipe clattering to the floor.
"Yes."
"Patch it up, you mean? Betray my training by doing half a job?"
"Yes,"
said Granny. Her pupils were two little black holes.
"Oh,"
said the dwarf.
"Right then."
Gander, the trail boss, was a worried man. They were 3 mornings out from Zemphis, making good time, and were climbing now towards the rocky pass through the mountains known as the Paps of Scylla. There were 8 of them. Gander often wondered who Scylla had been, and whether he would have liked her. A party of gnolls had crept up on them during the night. The nasty creatures, a variety of stone goblin, had slit the throat of a guard, and must have been poised to slaughter the entire party, only no one knew quite what had happened next. The screams had woken them up, and by the time people had puffed up their fires and Treacle the Wizard had cast a blue radiance over the campsite, the surviving gnolls were distant spidery shadows running as if the legions of hell were after them. Judging by what had happened to their colleagues, they were probably right. Bits of gnolls hung from the nearby rocks, giving them a sort of jolly, festive air. Gander wasn't particularly sorry about that. Gnolls liked to capture travellers and practice hospitality of the red, hot knife and bludgeon kind. But he was nervous of being in the same area as something that went through a dozen wiry and wickedly armed gnolls like a spoon through a lightly boiled egg, but left no tracks. In fact, the ground was swept clean. It had been a very long night, and the morning didn't seem to be an improvement. The only person more than half awake was Esk, who had slept through the whole thing under one of the wagons and had complained only of odd dreams. Still, it was a relief to get away from that macabre sight. Gander considered that gnolls didn't look any better inside than out. He hated their guts. Esk sat on Treacle's wagon, talking to Simon, who was steering inexpertly while the wizard caught up with some sleep behind them. Simon did everything inexpertly. He was really good at it. He was one of those tall lads apparently made out of knees, thumbs and elbows. Watching him walk was a strain. You kept